You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hi, I help when it matters most. Our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Random Walk Hunterdon.
Hey, good evening.
Hi.
I'm Roz Davis.
I'm Victoria Davis.
And once again, it's time to take a random walk.
It is, and we'll just be strolling all over the map here in Hunterdon. We'll be giving you some grilling tips, looking into the box office, discussing Darkinos.
Right.
Maybe that would be, and then we're going to have our mocktail. And which is not to be confused with the Darkinos.
No.
Because that is not a mocktail.
We could come up with a mocktail called the Darkino.
Well, I think we may have to after today. Yeah. I think it's going to have dark grape juice in it. And possibly some seltzer water.
Really? You wouldn't go with, like, prune juice and be all hardcore?
That sounds painful, Rosalind. We don't want to cause a dark matter annihilation. That would be bad. Very bad. We'll be updating. Our update is in jeopardy, baby.
Right, right. Well, we're going to talk about the list of co-hosts, the guest hosts.
The guest hosts.
We have a remaining list of guest hosts, you know, in case you're curious.
I am. I'm very curious. And then there's, of course, our calendar section.
That's right.
So I think we're going to take just a few seconds break here. And we'll be back with more Random Walk. Yes.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right. Well, it looks like we've got some grilling tips here. Summer is in full swing, and that means most of us are firing up that backyard grill. If you are shying away from grilling, just want a refresher course on the basics of grilling, and here are the top 10 tips for excellent summer grilling, and I think this is courtesy of the Food Network.
Yes, it is.
So
I wish we had some grilling sounds in the background.
I know. We need to get some sound effects.
Mm.
Should I do the first tip?
Do number one.
Well, I am the grill master, so I guess that makes sense. Anyway, Start with a clean grill.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know me. I'm a little dirty with my grill.
There you go. So you want a clean grill.
That's right. A clean grill. Don't let last night's salmon skin impart a fishy char flavor to tonight's chicken breast. No, don't do that.
Ew.
Yeah, nasty. Use a sturdy metal brush to clean the grates in between uses. This is, of course, easiest to do when the grill is hot. I would also recommend only use that brush in one direction. If you go scrub back and forth on it, you're likely to knock some of those bristles out, and that can be a bad thing.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I scrub in one direction. They don't mention it here. Also, there's ones that you can get that they're like, I have ones that it's like a little fork with it's like wire, it's like a wire coil, and you just rub that up and down the grill, and that is very effective and doesn't shed. So that's a good thing.
Well, make sure you have a fully repaired grill too. I think I don't think they talk.
They
about
They mentioned that. Yeah, my grill is now fully repaired.
I didn't know if you wanted to at this point share your experience.
Yeah, you know, I like grilling outside. I use my grill a lot, and it feels like every couple of years I need to buy a new one. And I was a little sad because I really like the grill I have, so I decided to go for rebuild instead. And ordered up some parts. I had to go to a couple of different places. I had to go to the manufacturer's website to get the one specific part, which is a carryover tube. And they don't make the exact burner units anymore, but they do make a universal burner kit that you can get at the box hardware store. So I ordered up from those two sources, and interestingly enough, neither one of them came with one particular piece of hardware. So always check, make sure that you don't need like a hardware kit no matter what you're buying. Because they both came with hardware, but not all the hardware I needed. So I was able to carefully remove the burners. I wanted to reuse all the hardware I could. I was only able to reuse some of it. I had to go find basically a bolt that would do the same thing as this basically custom machined piece that is supposed to go in there and hold the carryover tube to the burner. But I was able to get that all done and put back together, and now I had a nice clean flame coming up on yesterday. It was Monday night to grill our vegetables for Memorial Day weekend.
Yummy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, don't move the food around. In general, the fewer times you flip something, the better. Well, see, I probably am guilty of that.
You're a flipper?
Yeah, I'm a flipper.
I didn't even know you were into real estate, Rosalind.
This is ideal for most meats. If the meat is stuck to the grill, let it cook more. It will unstick itself when it's ready for flipping. Is that true?
Somewhat true, yes. Yeah, usually if it's sticking, it's not ready to be flipped. But I do like to turn it. It's interesting this comes from Food Network because it's the Food Network that got me into turning my food.
Really?
Yeah, because you want those nice hash marks. I don't know if the camera can see me. You want the little hash marks on your meat, on your burgers, your chicken breasts, that sort of thing, the salmon. It looks nice that way. So I usually start with the right side down, and then I scrape it up and turn it 45-degree angle so you get, you know, the hash mark on it, which looks like, ooh, we've been barbecuing. How mm-hmm. nice. You're in a fancy-pantsy restaurant. But so I do that. But, yeah, in general, just leave it cook until it looks – I like to say it looks three-quarters of the way towards what you want it to look, and then you just flip it over and doing just a little bit to really crust that back side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I guess I'm up to number three.
Number three.
I'm a big believer in this. Don't squeeze or flatten meats. Just don't do it. Yes, I know the burst of a sizzling flame that comes from squishing a burger with a spatula is tempting.
Hmm.
But you know what is creating that flame burst? Fat. And you know what fat is? Juicy flavor. Don't squish meat because you'll squeeze out the taste and the moisture.
So,
don't mash down on that food with your spatula.
Well, keep a spray bottle handy for flare-ups. Flames are not your food's friends. They will char it unpleasantly. Keep a spray bottle filled with water handy. This will allow you to dampen flare-ups without interfering with heat.
Well, that's true, but you might also want to go one step further in case your grill should burst into flames.
Oh, no.
It's also a good idea to have a fire extinguisher handy, one that has been rated for the type of grill that you're utilizing.
Wow.
And somebody tell me their story of when a grill suddenly went into a major meltdown. It wasn't just a flare-up. It just went a total meltdown. It was next to their house, and they were very concerned. They were able to find enough baking soda quickly, but now they always grill with a fire extinguisher nearby.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, number five.
Yes. Oh, buy a meat thermometer. Yeah, I'm a big believer in this one, too. Unless you're a very experienced cook, it's hard to tell meat's temperature merely by touching it. Although, if you're interested, here's how to do it, which my grandfather actually imparted some of these tips to me as well.
Oh, let's touch it, about touching the meat?
Yes, he had the chefs over. Our grandfather, for people who don't know, our grandfather was a sous chef at what today, or most recently, has been known as the Croton Bar and Grill. It was known as Corona's Rustic Tavern at the time. And he would hang out with the cook. He was a sous chef. He would hang out with some of the more senior chefs there. And they told him, this is, you push down, not mash down, like we said in the two tips ago. You don't want to mash down, but you want to press down a little bit with your tongs. And when it's a certain amount of tenderness that I'm about to impart to you, that tells you how done the meat is. So here's how to do it. You can touch the meat, which I mean with tongs, not with your bare hands.
Oh.
Yeah, that could hurt. If it's soft like the flesh between your index finger and thumb, it's rare. If it's soft like your cheek, which it could depend depend on who you are and your age, it's medium rare. And if it's firm like your forehead, yeah, okay, then it's well done. A more accurate is to get a quick check of the temperature from a thermometer. Your confidence in grilling will skyrocket with this one $10 purchase. So, yeah, go look
I'm
for
probably
it.
More of a temperature person. I've just started really using a thermometer for meats to see if they're done.
Yeah.
So,
and I think it's very important with chicken. I think it's really important with fish. So get the right temperature.
Pork.
Yeah. Pork you just want well done. But, yeah, absolutely.
Avoid putting cold food straight on the grill. Letting meat come to temperature on the counter for 30 minutes before grilling will help it cook more evenly. If you're looking for a rare sear, however, if you like your like if you're grilling tuna, for example, then chilled is the way to go. So if you're searing tuna, it can be cold. Rather, anything else, you really should let it kind of warm up.
Yeah. Undercook food just slightly. Carryover cooking is a real thing. Food continues to cook after it leaves the grill, or your oven, or your broiler. You can expect food temperature to go up about 5 degrees after leaving the grill, so plan accordingly.
Wow, that's pretty high.
That is.
I didn't think it was that much.
I didn't think it was 5 degrees either. It would also probably depend on the volume of the meat as well, and the density.
Rest all meat. Allow the meat to sit undisturbed and unsliced for 5 to 15 minutes after cooking, as this will allow the juices to redistribute. With a bigger piece of the meat, the longer the rest time, resting meat is an important key to juicy results. So I guess what I'm gathering from all this, you know, letting your meat come up to almost room temperature or whatever by sitting at 30, you know, undercook it and then make sure it rests, all that takes patience and time and timing.
Yes, it's all about the timing, and you do need patience to observe good timing. Don't overchar to cook through meat with bones. No one wants to eat meat covered in thick black char. No. That's not a flavor. It's also potentially carcinogenic as well. If you have thicker meats with bones, such as chicken thighs or legs, cook them on high heat to get a nice crust, then move to lower indirect heat on the grill. This will allow the meat to cook through more slowly without overcooking the outside. Or consider par cooking the chicken in an oven for 15 to 20 minutes before grilling. Also, a great to pre-cook ribs.
Now, don't you do par cooking?
I have in the past. I tend to, when I do ribs, I tend to like to boil them or even braise them and then put them on the grill. I've been known to actually whip out the crock pot, throw the ribs in the crock pot, let them braise like in beer or, you know, maybe a fruit juice during the day. And then when everybody's nice and soft and mushy, just put them on the grill with a generous helping of the barbecue sauce and just get that sear on the outside.
Keep it simple when it comes to serving a crowd. Managing numerous cook times for different proteins and vegetables can easily become stressful, and it can result in errors and overcooking. Keep the protein options down as much as possible and offer variety and some interesting side dishes, sauces, or condiments.
Well, we kind of did that over the weekend, too, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We had a variety of different things.
That's right.
Well, that wraps it up for grilling, unless you have anything else to add.
Grilling? What could I add to grilling? I've actually added my own thoughts as we went along. Okay. Yeah. I just stay safe and have fun, because getting outdoors and cooking outdoors are a great way to enjoy life here in Hunterdon.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I think, should we take another quick break?
Yeah, let's take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the box office.
All right.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right, we're back. And you're joining us late. This is Random Walk here on Hunterdon. What was it? Hunterdon Chamber Podcast Radio. That's
yes,
it.
That's a mouthful, yes. But yes.
Or WHRC-DB, as it's known. Well, I think you have something that you'd like to share. And this is it became a headline story. Normally, this would have been, we used to do this regularly on our.
Well, every Monday, right? I think, did we have the Monday show, right?
We did have a Monday evening show.
We always came off the weekend and we always discussed box office.
That's right.
So we're going to continue that tradition because, you know, the pandemic, the theaters haven't been open.
Yeah.
They've just kind of sort of selectively reopened a little bit, slowly over the last few weeks. But there's finally, you know, Memorial Day weekend came along and it was time to go back and open up the movie theaters. And so there's an actual box office to report this week, and the first time in about a little over a year. So NBC reports, the movie business is breathing a little easier after Paramount's A Quiet Place Part 2 roared to $57 million over the Memorial Day weekend, and a sign that cinemas are back after more than a year of pandemic-era closures, capacity restrictions, and skittish customers. But the public health situation is changing dramatically, at least in this country, and that's fueling optimism among exhibitors and studios. More than 60% of U.S. adults have had at least one shot of the vaccine, and there was even some research to suggest that 70% of Americans could be vaccinated by the summer. Last week, AMC, Regal, and Cinemark announced that they will no longer require fully vaccinated guests to wear face masks. What makes the results for A Quiet Place Part 2 particularly notable is that they are roughly in line with what the movie was projected to make prior to the pandemic.
Well,
so that's good news.
That is.
That, of course, never played out according to the plan. The sequel was originally set to open in March of 2020, but COVID-19 scrambled those plans. The initial film in the horror franchise, A Quiet Place, opened to $50 million in 2018. Of course, the profit margins will be a bit different. The first film cost a mere $17 million to make. Its follow-up has a $61 million budget. John Krasinski returned to direct the sequel. I believe he wrote it as well.
Wow.
With Emily Blunt, Noah Jupe, and Millicent Simmons reprising their roles. Jamon Honsu and Cillian Murphy rounded out the cast. I don't even know that particular performer.
No.
A Quiet Place Part 2 was shown in 3,726 theaters. Disney's Cruella was supposed to blow up the box office this weekend. It didn't. In an attempt to explain what makes a certain puppycidal maniac lust for Dalmatian fur, opted for a hybrid release. It's available for rent on Disney Plus for $30 to those Disney Plus members, and is also screening in 3,892 theaters. So it had more screens. The film, which stars Emma Stone as the title character and is set in 1970s fashion world, opened with to $26.5 million over the holiday. And MGM and Miramax, Wrath of Man, an action thriller that reunites director Guy Ritchie with his Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch star Jason Statham, captured fourth place on the domestic charts with $2.8 million. That brings the domestic haul to $22.8. Even though the movie business will take comfort from the holiday weekend's results, the industry still faces serious questions. Some theater chains such as Alamo Drafthouse and Studio Movie Grill are trying to reemerge from bankruptcies, while others such as AMC have weathered the crisis but still have a great deal of debt.
Interesting.
Moreover, the studios have the pandemic to experiment with alternative distribution strategies. That's led most companies such as Disney, Warner Brothers, and Paramount to signal they expect to shorten theatrical windows. Industry speak for the amount of time films are exclusively in cinema. Instead of 90 days, they want to have that window to 45 days.
Wow.
That's not good for movie theaters and the carrying costs that come with them, I would think.
I wouldn't think so, no.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Especially after they had to invest in all that digital equipment over the last several years.
Yeah, they were required to do it or they had to close.
Right. Well, they will be debuting film on home entertainment platforms earlier, ultimately hurt the box office. That remains to be seen. So I think it will. Anyway, that was from NBC. I don't know if I said that at the top of the story or not.
So I am intrigued. It's definitely going to change the business model.
It definitely will. And, I think they had predicted a couple of years ago now, even long before the pandemic, that it was going to go that way anyway, that streaming was going to be a big part of how we watch movies. It's, I don't understand, because a lot of how you film a movie and what you do, especially movies that are, you know, have special effects and are of a sci-fi nature or action-adventure nature, kind of depend on a large screen, not like a screen the size of your phone or your regular
even
TV
your
set or
even set.
Your computer or your your tablet.
Tablet.
You can't take, and it's a collective experience too. Like if you're just streaming it on your phone, that's kind of like a singular thing. And sometimes there's a time and a place for that.
That's true.
But I think, you know, some movies lend themselves, you know, like all those Marvel franchise movies, they kind of lend themselves to the big screen. Or if you want to see another Fast and Furious sequel.
Yeah.
You know, now they have 4D, right? I just saw the other story the other night on 4D. It said there's 3D movies. There's 4D now, and that, like, your seat moves.
Yeah.
In addition there to being the 3D effect. So it's supposed to be like an immersion effect. You can't really immerse yourself on a small screen.
That's true. And even just, even more simply, Dolby Sound. I mean, some people do get the surround sound in their homes, but not all of us have it. And there are certain movies that you definitely can't appreciate without Dolby. I think the most recent version of A Star is Born is definitely one of those films that it was meant to be experienced in Dolby.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for our segment. I didn't know if you wanted to move ahead with that.
Oh,
yet,
yeah. Why don't we go ahead with that? It's time for Space Case, this week's Space Case.
That's right.
I don't want a space on it or anything.
No. Do you want to take that story?
Yes, because I'm very interested in this because I'm kind of, it's making me kind of hungry, quite frankly. Today's Space Case is a fluffy ball of Darkinos could be lurking at the center of the Milky Way. And as you know, Darkinos come in regular and Cool Ranch, and they're very tasty. No. Where do you get into
it? I want mine with reduced sodium.
Yeah. Well, there you go. From space.com, in the summer of 2014, astronomers watched with giddy anticipation as a cloud of gas known as G2 swung dangerously close to the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy, of the Milky Way. Our galaxy, the Milky Way. Sparks didn't fly, nor did a feeding frenzy ensue. Instead, G2 zipped by unscathed, surviving what astronomers thought would be a near-death experience. But black holes are big bullies, so the fact that the gravity well ignored the gassy passerby was more than surprising. It seemed impossible. Now astronomers are saying that the supermassive black hole in the center of our galaxy is not a black hole at all, but rather a fluffy ball of dark matter. New research suggests this strange hypothesis is able to account for the impossible encounter, as well as all observations of the galactic center, and then some. Astronomers have long thought that the very core of the Milky Way, known as Sagittarius A, sits a supermassive black hole. Of course, they can't see the black hole itself, because then it wouldn't be a black hole. Life would be escaping from it. You couldn't see. Of course, they can't see the black hole itself because it doesn't give off a light of its own. In fact, it just draws all light into it. Instead, they infer its existence by watching the movement of a cluster of stars known as the S-stars. The S-stars orbit around a hidden, unseen central object, and by charting their orbits over the years, astronomers can deduce the mass and size of that central object. The most likely candidate for the hidden central object is, of course, a black hole. With an estimated mass more than 4 million times that of the Sun, But the S-stars aren't the only thing to hang around our galactic downtown. Clumps of gas also lurk there, and one in particular, dubbed G2, drew special attention. Soon after astronomers discovered the clump decades ago, they realized that the orbit of G2 would bring it perilously close to the black hole, close enough that the intense gravity of the black hole should tear the gas cloud apart. But after the closest approach of G2 to the black hole in 2014, when it passed just 260 astronomical units from the behemoth, the gas appeared to survive completely intact.
So if it was a true black hole, it would have sucked it in, basically, right?
That's what they think. That's what they think. They do have some plausible, they have some other explanations possible. But the most plausible explanation for the survival of G2 is that it's more than just an ordinary gas cloud.
Oh my, it's just no ordinary gas.
That's right.
It's classical gas.
No. There you go. Yeah, I can't.
That famous song.
Yes, I know. We, our friend of the show, Chip Murgat, has a version of it out. It's hidden superpower. Perhaps a star or two could be tucked inside the cloud, and the gravity of the star keeps the whole structure intact during its passage near the black hole. So we don't know exactly why G2 hasn't been pulled in yet, but... Yeah, could be.
How will we know?
I don't know, because I thought we kind of had deduced... We assumed that we're very similar to Andromeda and some other galaxies in our galactic cluster, and when we look at them, we actually see like the particles coming in, because we're kind of flattened out. I think we're called a disk galaxy. Is that the name of what we are? Because there's different types of galaxies. There's ones that are more rounded or oblong and kind of fluffy. We're kind of flattened out and swirly. Like you often see people, I remember the nerdy t-shirt that says you are here and it's a picture, but it's actually the pictures of Andromeda. We can't take pictures of our own galaxy with the technology we have today for obvious reasons. But we just infer from the size and shape and the way things move that we're very similar to Andromeda. So a lot of times we use Andromeda to represent us. So I believe that's called a disk galaxy, if I'm not mistaken. And I could be. It's been a few years. I think there's like this stream of particles that comes in, even though it's kind of more or less flattened out, which when you figure is flat is probably infinitely huge, but it's still more or less flattened out rather than rounded. But at the tops and bottoms of it, like basically the poles of this galaxy, you'd see these particles flying into the center of it. So that's how they assume that they assume we're similar to Andromeda, and the movement of what we do is similar. I believe they believe that phenomenon is caused by a black hole. That those particles flying in there and heating up as they get closer, because they're getting closer to the black hole, they actually glow more right before they get pulled in. So that's kind of how they came up with that idea initially. So I don't know if this fully disproves that or means that different galaxies have different centers, different cores, perhaps.
Maybe. We don't know.
We don't know.
But it is a curiosity why the gassy mass did not get sucked in.
That's true. And we don't know for sure that dark matter exists. It's just a theory. It's one of many theories. It's also been posited that Newtonian mechanics don't necessarily work for things that are really huge like galaxies and universes. They just kind of work for things we can observe here on Earth.
Interesting.
And they don't work for things that are really, really tiny, like the interior of an atom. So there's probably more to appreciate, and who knows?
I guess there's more theories to be had.
And there is, and people keep looking and keep guessing and keep trying.
Interesting. Well, I guess we should take a brief break.
Yeah, let's take a break, and we'll be back with more after this.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You know, speaking of space travel and black holes and the like, it just occurred to me that when we're wearing masks like this, Hal can't read our lips.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So maybe we should continue to wear them.
Perhaps, because I don't really want our artificially intelligent overlords to catch on to what we're planning.
Oh, wow.
Yep. All right.
Well, you know, we've been consistently throughout the show, and I think this is like show 10 or 11 at this point. We've talked about Jeopardy, and we talked about Alex Trebek, because just right after we started the show, Alex Trebek had passed away.
Right.
Or
right before.
And so we've talked about Jeopardy and Jeopardy hosts, and we've actually kind of expressed our opinions on different Jeopardy hosts. Anyway. We get a new guest host today because another 2 weeks has elapsed, and it's Mayim Bialik. So we're going to talk about her, and then we're going to talk about the list of the you're like, well, who's left? Because you heard, you know, this one was going to do it and that one's going to do it, but you don't know the whole list because you're like watching and you're waiting for that person to show up, but somebody else does. So we're going to go over the remaining list of guest hosts after this story.
That way, you're well informed to know which weeks to watch.
Yes. Well, CNN reports Mayim Bialik made her Jeopardy guest host debut today, Monday. It is an incredible honor to guest host Jeopardy. I was raised in a very creative and academic family, but it wasn't until high school that I fell in love with science, and that love led me to a PhD in neuroscience, Bialik said during the show. So I so appreciate that Jeopardy is a show that tests all aspects of intellect and allows the brightest minds to shine. Bialik also posted a video on Instagram reflecting on guest hosting. So I never watched myself back on camera, like ever. But I did tonight with my boys because, well, it's Jeopardy. Just wanted to share my thoughts and say thank you to those who tuned in. Now I'm off to sleep because it's bedtime for me over here on the East Coast. Good night. Alex Trebek, the longtime host of Jeopardy, died last year at the age of 80. He had been open about his battle with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Trebek hosted more than 8,200 episodes over the course of 37 seasons. Bialik, a neuroscientist and actress, which is an interesting combination.
Yeah, it is.
Played a neuroscientist on The Big Bang Theory, and she was the title character in the 90s sitcom Blossom. She's the second woman to guest host since Trebek's death, joining Katie Couric. And there's two other women.
Some more ladies who are going to be showing up.
Yeah.
Well, from Parade, I guess there's a list of remaining Jeopardy guest hosts?
Yes, there is. And as we just spoke, Mayim Bialik returned yesterday and is running through June 11th, so the next 2 weeks. And she's right now, she's the current star of Fox's Call Me Cat. And we said she's a neuroscientist in real life, but she's a great choice to serve up clues for a brainy quiz show. You can read the next person.
Yeah, which I was fascinated because there's also a commercial that she's doing right now as a neuroscientist. I'm like, really? What's the joke about Mayim Bialik Blossom being a neuroscientist?
Well, she really is.
But she really is. So.
And she played one on TV.
Well, that's great.
So go ahead, Vic.
Yes, again, Savannah Guthrie will be coming up June 14th through June 25th. The co-anchor of NBC's Today, Savannah Guthrie, is also the chief legal correspondent for NBC News. She has served as primary anchor for the network's major breaking news events and has conducted a wide range of exclusive interviews with newsmakers from presidents to celebrities and other notable figures.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta will be hosting June 28th through July 9th. Gupta is CNN chief medical correspondent and associate professor of neurosurgery at Emory University, and associate chief of neurosurgery at Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta. He has won multiple Emmy Awards covering some of the most important health stories in the United States and around the world.
George Stephanopoulos will be hosting July 12th through the 16th. George Stephanopoulos serves as ABC's news chief anchor and co-anchor of Good Morning America. He is also the host of This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Really? I didn't realize he was on Good Morning America.
Yes, he is.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, you don't watch
that watch morning shows at all.
No, you really don't.
I don't. I'm shamed.
Why are you ashamed?
I'm not ashamed, actually. I just had to say something.
You don't be ashamed.
When I was a kid, our mother likes the television set. She's a big television fan. She's probably watching some TV right now. We need to show her how to tune into this on the interwebs so she can watch it.
Right.
But I digress. She was always a big fan of putting on the morning program so I could absorb the morning programming and understand about the news of the day.
Well,
apparently,
she watched Good Morning America back in the day when it was a brand new show. I remember it was brand new and she tuned in. I think I saw the very early episodes of Good Morning America back in the 70s. But yes, so
we rotated through all of them, including today. I think we used to watch CBS This Morning when that first reappeared or revamped.
It has been through very different mixes.
Yeah, so. So it was like, Good Morning. Good Morning America was always known as the bright, happy one. Like, Joan London was the co-host on that one for years.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, and they always had people from around the world going, Good Morning America! You know, they'd get groups to say it so they could show that on their breaks. They'd roll that in. And it just seems odd to me. Okay. It's back to me? Yeah, no, it's you.
No, it's me. Robin Roberts will be hosting from July 19th through July 23rd. Robin Roberts is the co-anchor of ABC's Good Morning America. She's author of From the Heart, Seven Rules to Live By, and her memoir, Everybody's Got Something.
Okay. Robin Roberts. Well, see, there's another lady. And LeVar Burton. I'm very excited about this
one. I can't wait for this. I'm going to see how this goes.
Yeah, LeVar Burton. He's going to be going probably, he's going to be at the end of July. He is the former host and executive producer of PBS's Reading Rainbow. That's where people my age became
people
familiar
with
him. People
of a certain age, yeah, know him from
Reading Rainbow. Is also young. Yes. Known as, you know, Kunta Kinte.
That was more my generation.
Yeah. Some of our older listeners would know that. But Reading Rainbow and a lifelong children's literacy advocate, LeVar Burton also hosts his own podcast, LeVar Burton Reads. Highlight the best a short fiction.
Well, they don't even mention that, who is Jordy LaForge.
He's Jordy LaForge. That's like his biggest role.
I think
Jordy
the two
LaForge.
Things that people from a certain generation would find appealing about LeVar Burton is he was on Reading Rainbow, PBS's Rainbow, and he was Jordy LaForge. He also supposedly, doesn't he have a great love for Jeopardy as well?
He does. He has an amazing love for Jeopardy. He really wanted to
be
on
it. So I'm really
excited
to see how well he does, because right now, the only people that have impressed me so far has been Ken Jennings and Anderson Cooper. And I think Anderson Cooper, in my mind, has done the best job. So some people – and then people are like all – like think Aaron Rodgers should get the job. And I'm like, no.
No. No.
No. He should not.
So I'm very hopeful to see what LeVar Burton does. He's certainly he's also got a lot of skills that people don't give him credit for. He's a good singer. He actually has a lot of – he has a lot of skills.
He's a Renaissance man.
He is a Renaissance man. So more Jordy LaForge.
All right, you're next.
Oh, I'm next.
Next.
All right, why not? Why not? David Faber will be hosting in August. David Faber is an award-winning journalist and former Celebrity Jeopardy champion who serves as the co-anchor of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
That's right. And finally, rounding out the list, Joe Buck. He'll be hosting from August 9th to the 13th. Joe Buck is an Emmy-winning sportscaster known for his NFL and MLB coverage on the Fox network. He has served as the play-by-play announcer for the World Series and for the past 20 years, and is only the third announcer in the history to lead a single television network's MLB and NFL coverage in the same year.
Wow.
So that wraps it up for our whole segment on Jeopardy. And you know, I already gave you my opinion on the hosts. There's actually stories out there that kind of rate the hosts. I didn't pick any of those. Maybe I should have added that to round out
our coverage of Jeopardy for the most part. We'll be back at the end of the summer to probably
maybe we'll just do a review then.
do a review of who we liked best, because we've got a whole summer's worth of Jeopardy hosts.
We do.
And it's crazy thing is my tablet went dead.
Oh,
and
no.
My mocktail was on it, so oopsie. But we will still have a mocktail nonetheless, because I am intrepid, and I will make sure that there is a mocktail no matter what. So should we take another brief break?
If you wish.
All right. And then we'll have some other goodies.
You're listening to 101ChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
All right, we're back here on Random Walk. I'm just trying to get a mocktail up here. I actually was on my way here. I was thinking about the mocktail and what to prepare or what to help you prepare at home. And I actually looked some stuff up on my tablet, and then my tablet went a little dead because the battery needs to be recharged. So this is now we re-looked up, because I'm not going to let you go mocktail-free yet again. I re-looked it up. We found the McCormick site, and this is one of the ones that I was thinking about sharing. This is a pineapple turmeric mocktail with muddled dandelion greens, so, which sounds really exciting. I think this could be a real winner. It says the prep time is about 15 minutes, and this actually is meant to make 4 servings. It says here of this recipe, dandelion greens and a splash of pink grapefruit soda make this pineapple mocktail irresistibly refreshing. You could also, if you didn't want to stay a mocktail, you could add some white rum to transform into a delicious grapefruit cocktail. So you've got options. So here they call for 2 cups of fresh pineapple chunks, 1/4 teaspoon of ground ginger, 1/4 teaspoon of organic turmeric, which they obviously sell, 8 fresh dandelion leaves, leaves of dandelion greens, well washed. So if you're going to, obviously, say you live in a condo and they use a lot of chemicals, or you're near a golf course, you might not want to use the greens that are out there. But if you have a nice organic lawn and you don't put like fertilizers and pesticides on it, then you can probably utilize them. Otherwise, you can probably get them from the supermarket or the farmer's market. So again, be safe. Don't just go out in the yard and grab some greens. And anything you get, do wash it very well. Well washed and trimmed and torn into 1-inch pieces. And then you're going to take 2 cups of pink grapefruit soda and some crushed ice. So you're going to place your pineapple in a medium bowl, muddle with a muddler. You could use a wooden spoon, but that would be a little tough on your hand, so just use a muddler. Muddle mixture by using the bottom of a heavy measuring cup to press pineapple until crushed. So that's another method. Add ginger and turmeric and mix well. Divide dandelion greens among 4 beverage glasses. Muddle gently with a muddler or a wooden spoon. Top each with 1/4 of the pineapple mixture. Pack crushed ice into each glass, and then top each with 1/2 cup of grapefruit soda, then serve immediately. Tip, pineapple turmeric cocktail. Okay. So you can also, if you want to turn it into an actual cocktail, you can add 1 tablespoon of white rum to each glass.
Oh, wow.
So you got some options. That looks fascinating and very healthy as well, because you got the dandelion greens and you got the anti-inflammatory powers of the turmeric and the taste of the ginger, which is good for your sinuses.
Sounds like it's good for your health.
It actually does. It sounds like a nice tonic. Yeah.
It's a tonic.
Yeah.
Not just a mocktail.
No, I like that. I do miss tonics. There was a restaurant, I won't bother mentioning the name, because they went out due to the pandemic.
In the very early part of the pandemic. Almost immediately.
Yeah, almost immediately. They were probably in rough shape.
Which is sad, because they were a good restaurant. But they were in Old City, Philadelphia.
Yeah, and they were known for their tonics. It was So we went there. Like a pharmacy was kind of the idea, but it was like a natural pharmacy with organic foods, and they would have tonics on their menu.
And fresh bread.
And fresh bread. That was so delicious.
Mm, miss it. I miss many restaurants.
Yes, I miss restaurants in general, so
yeah.
I got to get out.
Well, yes, and there's a couple of local restaurants that are no longer with us, particularly here in downtown Flemington.
That's true.
Well, that wraps it up for that segment.
Yes. So let's, I guess, slowly and gently go through the calendar.
Slow walk the calendar.
All right.
Slow walk it till the end of the show.
We'll get there. And then I will give my recipe for the dark keto.
There we go. We'll make up the dark keto on the spot.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
The Somerset Patriots will host the Reading Fighting Phils for a 6-game series starting today. I guess it's started already, I would think, or just about now. Probably just about to start.
Yeah.
Today at TD Bank Ballpark up there in Bridgewater. Right?
That is Bridgewater,
that's Bridgewater. The Somerset Patriots, the New York Yankees AA affiliate, which that's new. They weren't before.
Yeah.
Are excited to host fans at TD Bank Ballpark for its historic 2021 season. Special promotions are part of each game of the series with fireworks on June 4th. You can check out their website at milb.com/Somerset.
That's right.
So, again, starting tonight and runs through June 6th, the Reading Fighting Phils and the Somerset Patriots will slug it out.
Yeah, and they've got some really cool stuff, so do check out their website. Again, the fireworks, I think it's Friday night is the fireworks. As part of the after the game, and then there's all kinds of cool giveaways and stuff throughout the series. So it's
comfortable, convenient.
It is.
That's a good park,
and not a budget buster either.
No,
you can still see good baseball and not have it break the bank, which is great. And the parking is easy too.
It's fairly easy. Yeah,
what I remember. The Hunterdon County Teen Arts Festival has actually been going on for 2021 and continues through June 15th. You can join the Acme Screening Room on Saturday, June 12th, for Making Waves, the film and live pre-show music performed by students from the School of Rock, Princeton, behind the Spokeworks building on 204 North Union Street in Lambertville, New Jersey. Tickets are $25 per car, or free, but you must have a student in the car to get in. So there's some stuff that you have to do, and you do need to register for your free tickets. So you'll need to jump on their website. Probably if you have a teen in a local public school, they probably have information on how to get registered for that free car. All tickets sales will be online only. Films include a special introductory video introduction by filmmakers Karen Johnson and Bobette Buster. More information can be found at theacmescreenroom.org.
That's how they're handling the teen arts. Does it still, before the pandemic, did it still travel around to the different high schools?
I don't really know. I hadn't thought much about it. Just seeing that they have an art film that is now part of the Acme Screening Room and their Carpool Cinema was intriguing to me, so I don't know. I don't know if you can even go see it if those outside of the usual. So
no, I just remember when I was a teen growing up in Hunterdon County, the Teen Arts Festival would be held at a different host county high school.
Yeah, it would rotate throughout the county.
It would rotate, and then you'd get on a bus and you'd go visit the Teen Arts Festival, or you could be a participant. I was a participant at some point.
Yeah.
Well, on June 5th, the Hunterdon Art Museum will be hosting a virtual event via Zoom from 7 to 8 p.m., where artist Ann Clark will speak about the materials, techniques, and meanings behind the works in her exhibition, As Her Mind Collapsed, I Was Awakened, The Rugs of Ann Clark, currently exhibiting at the museum through June 13th. Her art deals with a sensitive and personal subject, her aging mother, who suffered from dementia and died at the age of 100 in 2020. The artist will speak to how her works evoke the complex topic of memory loss from the perspective of a daughter and an artist losing her mother to dementia. After her presentation, she will engage in discussion with the audience. Members of the community who have lost loved ones to memory loss are particularly welcome to join the conversation. To register, go to hunterdonartmuseum.org/events. And there's a little button you can click on and find it. But I believe the Hunterdon Art Center is open again, and maybe we should investigate that. But they do have hours, and you do, I believe you're still wearing masks and have to go in separate entrances and exits. I don't know if that's going to get lifted anytime soon, but they did open back up. So, again, if you want to find more information, go to 100andartmuseum.org.
That's right. Very good place to look. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will host a membership open house for prospective members on Wednesday, June 9th. Hey, I'll even be there from 5 to 7 at the Chamber's office, which, yeah, right where we're sitting. It's located right here on Main Street in Flemington. It's the big yellow house with the big white columns, the really big one. The live event will feature light networking, a presentation on the many aspects of the Chamber, and a new member special offer. Prospective members should register at hunterdonchamber.org.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is also pleased to present the Value Vision Board Workshop on June 16th from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. as part of the Unity Bank Center for Business and Entrepreneurship. Tickets are $20. Registration is required and can be done at the Chamber website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Yeah, and they have a much larger thing on it, and it's actually hosted by Nicole, who is also another podcaster here on Hunterdon Chamber Podcast Radio. Nicole is the host of Happy to Help, as well. She's also had a lengthy career, I believe, in nonprofit. So she, I believe, she's Room to Read is her employer. She's part of Room to Read. Well, again, the Hunterdon Land Trust Farmers Market, which I was at on Sunday, is now open with about 25 local farmers and vendors offering an array of organic produce, all natural beef, chicken and pork, fresh baked beds, cave ripened cheeses. I didn't know we had cheese caves here, so that's cool. Honey, pies, native plants, fresh cut flowers, locally roasted coffee, milk, and more. I myself purchased a variety of fresh vegetables and a lovely bouquet.
Oh, wow. Did they have a variety of vendors, as they discuss here?
They did. I got there kind of late, and it was cold and rainy out, but there was a new mushroom guy there.
Oh.
They'd had, I think,